Welcome back. You're with the news at 1. 20 billion euro a year for 20 years, an increase in taxation of about 25%. That's the potential cost of a United Ireland, according to a new study by the Institute of International and European Affairs. The authors, the Economic and Social Research Institute's John Fitzgerald of Trinity College Dublin and Dublin City University academic Professor Edgar Morgenroth, said it would take 10 billion euro to fund a shortfall in essential services such as health and education for Northern Ireland, and then another 10 billion euro to cover the public sector pay bill. Our reporter Jenny O'Sullivan has been asking people in Cork about the costs of uniting Ireland.
God, a lot of money in that, a lot of money. But I hope it'd be nice. I hope they do get a United Ireland anyway.
Well, that was expensive, but maybe in the long term, if we could get a United Ireland, would it be possibly worth it?
It's a lot of money. I suppose it will happen eventually, so yes, I'd be in favour of that, yeah.
It's kind of just a difficult number to put into perspective, I think. Personally, I don't really know what the opportunity cost of that is, so I don't really know whether I could say, oh, I'm all for it or not.
The majority of us wouldn't want anything to do with us, so we have to take that into account, and I'm happy as the way things are.
People in Cork with our reporter Jenny O'Sullivan. Let's speak to John Campbell. He's BBC Northern Ireland's business editor. John, good afternoon. Thanks for taking our call today.
Hello there.
This is just one study. There have been several, and it's based on a particular set of assumptions. But take us through how it comes up with the costs, quite substantial costs.
Well, in essence, what it's looking at is the fact that in Northern Ireland, we spend a lot more on public services than we raise through taxation. And Northern Ireland is not unique in that respect within the UK. Only London and the South East run a surplus with central government, if you like. So in Northern Ireland, we have what is known as a subvention. That's money from the UK Treasury, which fills that gap between what we raise in taxes and what we spend on public services. And in a typical year, it would be around £10 billion. So what this paper is looking at is what would happen to the subvention in the context of a United Ireland, and would the new unified state be able to afford that subvention? And really, their central estimate is to say it would be 11 billion euro a year initially. Now, they've made some adjustments to get to that number. So, for example, the subvention would, of course, no longer include Northern Ireland's contribution towards UK defence or UK overseas spending, but it would have to include things like a contribution towards Ireland's spending on the EU. There's some other numbers they come up with. The highest one is 20 billion euro a year initially. That would be in a scenario in which public sector wages and benefit levels in what was Northern Ireland were immediately raised to match the level in the Republic. And then there are a couple of other scenarios they look at where the bill could be lowered to around 8 billion or 9 billion euro a year. For example, if you're in a situation where the UK government would continue to pay state pensions in Northern Ireland to people who had already paid their national insurance contributions to the UK Exchequer. So you have this range, 8 billion to 20 billion a year initially. But of course, we'll come on to this, I'm sure. What some of the critics would say as well, you can't assume that level of subvention would have to continue in perpetuity, because if Northern Ireland's relatively underperforming economy was integrated into the much more dynamic economy of the Republic, then surely its performance would improve, more taxation would be raised within Northern Ireland, and that gap would start to come down over time.
Yes, because the biggest criticism of this study is that it relies on static measures. In other words, everything staying the same as it is now, and crucially, the North continuing to perform the way it does now. So in order to redress that gap, the North would have to grow economically, and the South too, for that matter. And this study doesn't take any of those scenarios into account.
Exactly. And the authors would be quite upfront about this, that this study does not attempt to cover everything. It doesn't attempt to look at those so-called dynamic effects. It also doesn't look at, for example, the potential cost savings if you wouldn't no longer have to have a separate Northern Ireland civil service. So you would certainly still have to have a similar number of doctors, nurses, teachers, bus drivers in Northern Ireland. But you wouldn't necessarily need those people at the centre distributing the resources, because that would all be done from a new unified finance ministry or health ministry or whatever. So, you know, some potential savings in there. And, you know, there's also the criticism that we've heard from some people to say, well, it's almost based on an assumption that you would get a vote for unification on the Friday, and then immediately you would have unity happening on the Monday, and those costs would be there up front. But I suppose some of the advocates of unity I would speak to would say, well, no, this would be a much longer transition period, a much longer transition period even than we saw during Brexit, maybe a decade or more in which, if you like, the handover from the UK to the new unified state would happen gradually, and there would be time for the northern state and the northern economy to adapt to those new set of circumstances, and therefore that initial subvention would not need to be as large as these headline figures suggest, and that over time they would come down. But I think that the big question about, you know, the subvention coming down over time is how quickly and by what mechanisms would the northern economy catch up with the more dynamic economy in the Republic. So, for example, you know, a major criticism of Northern Ireland's education system, if there was to be wholesale education reform, well then, you know, if you're thinking about somebody entering education from preschool right through to third level, well, that's a 20-year process. So are we talking about a catch-up period of that length or potentially even longer?
As I said at the start, this isn't the first study of its kind, and there will be an awful lot more. How does this one compare?
The other study which has looked at this level of subvention most recently is work by Professor John Doyle at DCU. And his estimate is that it's actually a much lower amount, perhaps just about 3 billion, still a substantial sum, but he would say within the context of the Republic's economy, that number is more than manageable. It would be pretty easy to absorb on that basis. Now, it's fair to say that very low estimate is also not uncontested. There have been a series of back and forth in academic papers between John Doyle and an economist in Northern Ireland, Dr. Esmond Burney, and Esmond Burney and others say, well, no, we think that estimate is just too low. There have also been a whole series of research papers which have been published through a project called ARENS, which is run by the Royal Irish Academy, which is attempting to drill into greater detail about what is happening on both sides of the border in terms of the economy, what the differences are, what the similarities are, and how it might actually work in the context of unity. So I think one thing to take away from this paper today is it has certainly helped kind of open up this conversation in a way that I can't quite remember, because, you know, this morning, I'm just thinking about our own output on BBC Northern Ireland, there have been very extensive discussions of this paper across three different programmes, you know, people with plenty of expert views, lots of nuance, and I can't think that has happened in terms of some of the previous academic papers, so it perhaps reflects how these discussions about unity are becoming more detailed, there's more interest in them, and they certainly are now more serious discussions in the light of Sinn Féin's rise at Stormont in particular, and that those discussions may become yet more intense should Sinn Féin enter government in Dublin.
And we've been having similar discussions across the broadcast here this morning too. John, good to talk to you. I'm sure we'll talk about this again. That's John Campbell, BBC Northern Ireland's business editor.